Yes.
Please, I want to understand the reality of the water baptism.
The
truth of this water baptism. Is it if somebody do not partake this water baptism, is that person still belong to the family of Christ?
Sin separated you from God. You will never be reconciled with God until your sins are remitted. Yes, the mercy of God can come like it came on the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, where they received the Holy Ghost before water baptism. But the evidence that it is the Holy Ghost you have received is that it will lead you to all truth. It will lead you to where you will have your sins remitted. So it is important. Very, very important. Have I answered you?
But after this water baptism, after I pass through this water baptism, shall I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
Sure. Today, when we finish baptizing you, we shall bring you to the altar here and pray for you. Some will receive the Holy Ghost here. Some, as they are coming out of the water, they receive. You will see them under anointing right there by the water. Immediately. And it's God that chooses, and He knows when and how to give. Some may go home before they begin to experience it. But somehow, no how, God will visit every heart that has decided to serve Him. He will give you the eternal life, give you the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Concerning my question of this baptism, because most of the places that I do visit or worship, because I'm a visitor as well.
Okay.
It's my first time coming to this church.
First time.
I'm from Delta State.
You came from Delta State to attend this program?
Yes, sir.
Clap your hands now. Yes.
So, for some of the places which I've worshipped or visited, they do indicate some processes concerning this water baptism. Maybe you need to go through water baptism classes and others. But for me, because I do read the scripture and I do according to what the scripture tells me, due to my understanding, but not what I hear from people. One of these things, because I believe as a sinner, it's not really right for me to baptize and go back to sin. But you said something that triggered me. This is that I say baptisms are made for sinners.
Sure.
You understand? Because I thought that maybe, because I know I'm a sinner. I don't steal, but in terms of humanizing and other stuff.
The way I see you look like one.
Yeah. You understand, sir? So, that is the thing that affects me. Sometimes I will come and say, I don't want to sin no more. But when I go back, I do the same thing.
Yes.
It happens to me in Nigeria, UK, and other places I've traveled to. But it's not really the kind of life I want to live. But when you have said this, and I think by the grace of God, I will baptize today.
You see, clap your hands now, church. Church, listen. Let me tell you something. Any believer, any human being that says he cannot stop anything he indulges in, that person is not sincere with himself. Any, there is nothing a man is into that he cannot stop, including drug addicts. I have been inside prison yard and a drug addict was brought there. Where he drink finish, if they cause problem, they catch him, come put him for prison. He's there for 6 months. He no taste drug. And nothing happened. But when he is outside, he said, I can't stop. I have crisis. My body they shake if I don't take. Now because you never enter the condition where you don't even think of drug. I see people who say, if I see woman, I get something where unless I sleep with her, I can't stop. It's a lie. How do I know? That same woman, when they tell you, if they catch her, you want to, you don't undress, finish, you are charged. Then she say, hold on, I love you, I don't want to, I have HIV. please, I have HIV. I love you. I don't want you to be involved in this thing. I have HIV. See my result. You think I'm lying? See my result. Where I go yesterday? See it here. HIV 2 and 3 and 4. Let that man say, I am too charged. I can't see that nonsense either. He's a lie. Instantly, his body will discharge. One young girl in this church told me that is how she escaped her uncle. He said she had one useless uncle. She didn't find work. He arrived and he said, come and meet me for one hotel for Ikeja. He said, you go meet him, give him a CV, may he find work. When he called him, he said, the man undressed. Her uncle? Uncle said, stop that. Are you a big girl now? I'll give you anything you want. She was crying. The man was still. Then, small time, he was saying, why are you crying like this? She said, she looked, said, uncle, I'm crying because one of the reasons I came here is to tell you to give me money. I have HIV. The man said, ah, why did you tell me this? Huh? Why did you tell me this? He carrying trousers, where? See. There is no sin. So anybody that says it's because you have not yet discovered the evil of living a life of sin. And yet you are going to church. The day you discover that each time you fornicate with a woman, she's collecting your life from you. I told young people that one area that Satan has used to damage people's life is through fornication. Any man, Satan has anointed, 90% of those girls that are naked in themselves and attracting men, they are agents of mommy water. They are sent forth. No normal woman will dress half naked on the street and go. No normal woman. No normal woman. But they are on assignment. And it is not everybody they go for. Don't think you are very handsome, that's why they agree for you. No. There is something they see concerning you. They see a star. They see a glory. And their assignment is to finish that glory. Once you sleep with them, they collect your life. Your sperm is a point of contact to every aspect of your life. A woman told Dayola, young girl, 2 weeks ago, he said the power that was on her, he said any man that in belly touch her own belly. Nobody say you enter out. Just the belly will touch her. He said you are finished. Whatever level you are, say you are finished. I conducted deliverance for a young girl here also. She said it. She said that any pastor that does deliverance for her must end up sleeping with her. I said, but I do deliverance for you now. Why not sleep with you? They are fornicators. It's true. He said that, yes, that she was surprised. I said, but why didn't I sleep with you? She said, she looked me very well. She noticed that I was too high. She could not get to where he was. Now, listen, church. Praise the Lord. Jerry, you know the person. You were there that day. One pangele girl like this, 5 men could not hold her when the anointing came on her. One coordinator, tell a coordinator. Say coordinator in the church here. Go chairman somewhere. Come the church and say, I want to marry you. The girl look out. I just pity you. I just pity you. Let me tell you who I am. She says she has 3 elder brothers. She goes to live with them. He said the spirit will make the brothers sleep with her. She went to another one, 3 of them. She said 3 of them. He said, and each time they sleep, whoever you are, everything you have will crumble. The other girl told me, she said, that all they will do, he said, even if you own a bank, if you sleep with her, I say it's a matter of time, that bank will fold up. That one said they were operating in VI. One small girl, I also did another deliverance. Jerry, let me hear you, they do this deliverance. One other small girl, how many? 15. 16 years old. Yes, 16 years old. She said when she's going on the street, if the demon comes upon her, I say, just make you, if you jam her eyes, he said you start to follow her. He said you must follow her. 16 years old, you will collect. He said, then you will not go plan. If you are not yet ready, maybe she's in a hurry, she cannot. They say, give me your complimentary card. So he said, if you give her your complimentary card, that company name that is written there, that's all. He will collect it. He said, that night, now your matter had in the hand you that night. See the one where I catch come. You not sleep with me, but seeing complimentary card. Praise God. Praise the Lord. 16 years old girl. Why I say this is people don't know. You think that you are a fine boy. That's why they run around you. Show me one single fornicator that ever makes it. Tell me. It's crisis, 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 crisis. If it is not one sickness, then money not the stable in hand. That's why they come, that's why they go, that's why you live useless life because of the various. And remember that the two of you shall become one. So if you go sleep with any girl, you go sleep with any man, every man you sleep with, the two of you become one. Her problem will become your own. Your own problem will become her own. So all of una, they share together one another. So imagine you when they sleep with different ones, you carry this problem on your head. Carry this curse on your head, this covenant on your head, different one. Smarter, you say, I don't know what is wrong with me. My head doesn't scatter. I don't know. Now you know. Praise God. Now, baptismal school, baptismal class. There's nothing about baptismal school and baptismal examination. The school, now will they do since so. Now the lecture, now they do since so. The examination is. You will pass if you come out and baptize. If you hear me now, you still go like that without baptism, you have failed.
Concerning
yes.
Baptism, emotionally, can someone undergo it two times as Jesus did it once?
You do water baptism once if it was done correctly.
How, but sir?
Sir, you listen to my teachings today.
Yes.
I say if you were sprinkled with water, it is wrong. Go and baptize again today. If you were baptized only as infant, it is wrong. Go and baptize. If you baptized by immersion, but they say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and brought you up. It is wrong. They baptize you in the title. It is supposed to be in the name. And I say, correct water baptism is to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. That name, Jesus, is the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. If you did it otherwise, go today and re-baptize.
But I am...
Talk to microphone, sir.
Once. But in the name of the Father, I brought up in the Son, I brought and the Holy Ghost. How can it be?
It is wrong. It is once. You enter once in the name of the Lord Jesus. You die only once. The Father didn't die now. Eh? Praise God. Yes, somebody is there.
I want to ask two questions. One is baptism necessary for salvation?
Sure.
Then another one is this. What happens to children who die without baptism? Or anybody who died without baptism?
No, you are asking two questions. Is it children or anybody?
Okay. What happens to children who are not baptized, who die?
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Listen. Listen. Your question is very deep. But you heard me talk about the book of life. You heard me talk about foreknowledge of God. We were all children before we became adults. But before we became adults, God already had our names in the book of life. Everyone whose name is in the book of life will be saved, including those children.
Okay. Why I'm asking is this, because you say children baptism is wrong.
Yes, because they don't know right and wrong. So what will you tell them to repent from? And it's supposed to be a decision you willingly make. Nobody pushes you into it. And no human being should stand between any human being and God. There is only one mediator between God and man. Who is that man? The man Jesus. So there is nothing like Godfather, Godmother for a little child. No. The Godfather, now Jesus. Jesus will take care of that. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, I want to ask a question concerning those people that cannot be baptized. Maybe someone that are living outside, that they cannot, if they tell their pastor to baptize them this way by mansion, and their pastor refuse, or some maybe outside Lagos, and they cannot baptize by mansion, maybe the person does not believe what they believe, the person refuse to baptize them by what they are told them to baptize them, can anyone baptize them apart from that their pastor?
Certainly, church, listen. Every one of us that will be saved, one way or the other, God will lead you to where you do correct water baptism. He will preserve your life until it gets you to where you'll be baptized. Desperation, certainly, will take you to a minister to baptize you. It must not be your pastor. It can be any other minister, anywhere, provided the baptism is done correctly.
Thank you.
Yeah, my question goes to us. First of all, I want to appreciate you for opening my eye.
Hey, clap your hands now. Hallelujah.
I'm a kind of person that I run after the word. I've observed, I found myself in a lot of problems that it's only the word that make me comfortable.
Is it your first time coming here today?
This is my second time.
Second time. When was your first time?
Last week, Tuesday.
Okay, God bless.
Now my question is, I've been to so many church. I've found myself in a situation whereby you need a help from a man of God. And they'll tell you that, are you a member of this church? You say yes. How long have you been coming to this church? For like 1 year. Are you baptized in this church? You say no, I'm baptized somewhere else. Sorry, we can't help you. You are not a member. I want to ask, does it mean that you must be baptized? Because it happens in so many churches that if you want to attend some certain position, you need certain help, they will tell you, bring your baptism certificate. Or maybe even at that point, you really need that help. The respect of that condition, the man of God will ignore that condition and tell you, sorry, you are not a member, we can't do anything to your case because you don't have a baptism certificate. And they use that certificate to deny people admission in universities and tell you want to go to some universities owned by some churches. They'll tell you your baptism certificate is a condition for you to get admission. And a lot of things are happening all in the name of this baptism. I want to throw more light on it because I believe a lot of people are watching and people should understand because it has deprived a lot of people opportunity, this baptism.
God bless you. There are two aspects of your question, if I understand you. One, the emphasis of baptism as a precondition for helping.
Yeah.
Now, and then, but I want you to quickly note that every church have their own way of identifying their members. The church is a public place. And the resources that you have, as far as welfare is concerned, charity begins at home. It must be first, the priority of every ministry is first and foremost her own members. And every church has a way of identifying who their members are. The reason is this. These days, the Christian liberty has been taken advantage of. And you have people that will not want to serve God, but will take advantage of the liberality of Christians and go from church to church telling the same story. Leave here, tell one story. Go there, tell one story. If you are truly a Christian, then you should identify with the church. And to identify with the church is more than going there to shout hallelujah, clap your hand, carry your Bible, go home. You must be a functional member. There must be some means of identification that you are a member of that church, so that they can meet their obligations towards you. Even in this church, it's not everybody that walks in here and says, we have a need. I am a church member of Bride, a Bride member that we have. The welfare department have designed the means by which they help people. We have, for instance, 10 prayer groups. We have house fellowships. We have men fellowship. We have youth fellowship. We have the musicians. We have the minister. We have groups in this church that we expect every member to identify with at least one of them. So when you say you have a need, a welfare need, you go to the welfare, the first thing they will ask you is, please, which group do you belong? And they tell you, come with your group leader. The first thing they will ask the group leader is, what has your group done for your member? Then, they know whatever they have done before, the church can now come and support. We are also aware that a church like this, there are people that is their problem that brought them here. Somebody who is suffering from AIDS, for instance, at death point. Cancer at death point. Then comes to this church and joins a prayer group so that you'll be praying, hoping that God will heal him. And suddenly, maybe 1 month after, he dies. Then they'll come and tell you, your church member don't die. We go say, no, be our church member. Now, problem carry and come here. He was coming here for prayers. So you won't come and carry the load and put it on us and say, now, our church member. Although we have never rejected one, Pastor Thomas, we have never rejected. We take up the bills. But everyone that comes here and dies here, and thank God, very few of such cases ever happens here in this church. But we have always done our best. Now, but we can also see somebody who is not a church member and walk in here with serious problem, and by the Spirit of God, you can know this person needs help when you listen to the person. We help it. And many come like that and we help. But I fault no church for whatever they design to put safeguards from devourers that will come. Thank you very much. The last person? Okay.
First of all, Pastor, before I start...
Can you talk to microphone, please?
Okay. Before, I have diverse questions, but I'll only...
I have diverse answers too for you.
Okay, Pastor. But I thank God, I thank the God in you and in the church. Because my fellow tenant was inviting me since long ago, but I decided this Tuesday that I'll go with him.
Today's your first time?
Yes.
Clap your hands up. See, first timers are getting excited. Yes.
So my question now is, time of a deliverance, I don't feel anointing. And
you don't fall under anointing?
I don't feel anointing. Is anointing composed that, can someone just... Surely full anointing, or the Spirit of God, or the Spirit in that person will push them to full anointing. So I was questioned indirect: is full anointing, is it a sin? I mean, if someone is not full anointing, won't the person be healed? Won't the person be delivered? It's what I want to ask.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, listen, church. I know, because ministers believe that when they minister and somebody fall under anointing, that is evidence that they are anointed. It's nothing like that. Nothing in the Bible that shows that the evidence that you have received is that you will fall under anointing. There's nothing like that. We receive by faith, not by falling. Do you understand? We receive by faith, not by falling. For we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says so. And not by sight. So people who do deliverance, and then they will... If you don't fall, the put leg must fall down. It's all carnality. It's nothing like that. Praise the Lord. They've moved from faith to sensationalism. But watch it, church. Listen, church. Amen. There are some problems. Listen, church. Listen, this is very important. There are some problems that you have. There is demonic possession and there is demonic oppression. Demonic possession is a demon coming to live inside of you. Demonic oppression is a demon attacking any aspect of your life. It could be attacking you from what he's doing in a village somewhere or what he has done before. It does not affect you physically. When you are coming to be delivered from something that was buried somewhere, working against you, or a demon that, a witch that is disturbing you, your progress, when God wants to deliver you from there, he may not come to touch you. It is that woman witch that you will go and walk on. You will be here as if nothing happened to you. Nothing, you will not feel any sensation, nothing. And yet, you may be receiving a serious deliverance. What is the evidence? The testimony that follows after that day. Or the story you will hear of somebody confessing somewhere. But there are some demons that possess you. When they are casting them out, they may live quietly and go. You won't even know they have gone. But there are some that before they go, they are stubborn. Before I go, I mess you up small. May I break her head. Break her head. They go, see, we are one stick, 3 days. If they don't hold you, you go break your head. Violently. Or try to disgrace you first. I will not go. We're going to talk. So that, you know, just to torment you. Praise God. Before you will finally go. Amen. Now, listen also. There is another group of people that fall down under anointing, but they are not possessed of evil spirits. Listen, there are two categories. Number one category, they are those who are light in the spirit. We don't have the same spiritual makeup. There are some people that are very, very light in the spirit. You know, the gap between the spirit man and the flesh man, you know, some are very sensitive. Very sensitive. Once the glory of God comes down, the presence of God come down. Once an angel just walked past them, they will fall under anointing. Their spirit will contact that angel and there will be reaction. It will fall down under anointing. The person is not possessed. You see? Then there are some that they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They are filled with the Holy Ghost. And some of them have this prophetic utterance. Some of them have one gift or the other. When it is just starting, the Holy Ghost dealing with them. Anytime the atmosphere changes, there is a reaction, a manifestation around them. Some of them fall down. Some of them, you know, you see them shaking. Different manifestations that in my teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we have stated them, and all of them manifest in a ministry like this. So, whenever anybody falls under anointing, we the ministers, we know which one is possessed and which one is a manifestation of the Spirit. But as evidence as to whether you receive, it is not by falling, it is by faith you receive. God bless you.
My question.
And I hope you know there are some of us that under no condition can we ever fall. Eh? Those of us, we are too much in the flesh. So kagakaraka like this we day. Kagaraka. Even if Jesus appear like this, we will shake her with her, we go day like that, they look up. There are people like that. And you, when they fall down, you are not a better Christian than them. Praise the Lord. As they can resist that, that is how they can also resist sin. Sin will stand before them, they will not fall. They will look at you, get out, and burn again. Amen. Okay.
My second question is baptism has limits? Because I've done immersion and the infant.
Has what?
Limits.
Limits. And the number of times to do it. You do it as many times until you do the correct one. So today, come and do the correct one. Come here. The last person now.
Pastor.
God bless you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I am privileged to be here. I did not plan it, but I thank God I'm here today.
Is it your first time?
Yes, the first time.
Today is your first time.
I was here on Sunday.
Oh.
I came on behalf of a church. We came on behalf of a church to see you first for issues that we wanted to address in the ministry where we are coming from. Fine, but luckily I met Jerry and directed us to go to the other side. Then we said, okay, let's stay back for this program. And it's an interesting one about baptism. I have been baptized, but in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and in my ones. Now, my question is this: if I was baptized that way, not in the name of Jesus Christ, as you said, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is represented by Jesus Christ.
Listen, you know, it's a very serious question because you are leaders of your church. And it's important that you learn this. Sir, can I give you a Bible? Please, just give me 5 minutes. A big letter. I don't know whether you use glasses or not. Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, okay, it's a new Bible, they're sticking together. It's a new Bible. Who owns the Bible? You? You just bought it?
Yes.
When?
Just now.
Just now? You just bought it just now?
Yes, at the shop here, yes.
God bless you. Start from verse 16. There's verse I want to call your attention to.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed
them. How many of them?
11 of them, sir.
11. Why are they 11?
Because one had left. Judas had left.
Now, was Peter among the 11?
Yes, sir.
Go on.
Okay, sir. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Go to Acts chapter 2. Verse 36. 36, 37, and 38.
Okay, Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
37?
37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?
And what did Peter say? Verse 38.
Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ,
and of the
for
Son.
The remission.
Wait now.
Okay, sir.
He said they should go and baptize in the name of the Father.
In the name of Jesus Christ, sir.
Not Father.
No, not Father, not Son.
But Jesus said he should go and baptize in the name of the Father.
Yes, sir.
But Peter is saying go and baptize in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Was Peter wrong?
No, the word of God can never contradict itself.
So, why do you think Peter baptized, said we should baptize in the name of Jesus?
That means because three persons in one God, Jesus could be the name they are dealt with.
You try.
Thank you, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
No, it's okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, without wasting time. Acts chapter 8, Philip baptized. It's okay. Philip baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, Peter baptized the house of Cornelius in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19 also baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Apostle Paul was narrating his baptism. How that prophet Ananias told him, Go and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, we are there wrong? No. The problem is, go and baptize in the name. Now, if it's referring to three persons, he would have said in the names. Correct?
Yes, sir.
But he said in the name. That means it is one name.
Sir, these three persons are one.
Whether they are four, let's look at the name first.
All right, sir.
He said, go and baptize in the name.
In the name, yes.
Okay, you are your wife. You are your wife. Are you not one?
Yes, by marriage. Yes, sir.
Jesus is one with God by what?
By they are God. Eh? Three persons in one God.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me not take too much time on that. Now, it's because you're a pastor, that's why I'm going to do all this one. Because we may not come this week. But how did you know about this church?
Well, sir, I live at Okota.
How did you know about the church?
About Bride and a sister told me about the church.
Okay, so you people decided to come down.
Yes.
God bless you. You will not be disappointed.
Thank you, sir.
Now, listen. The problem people have is understanding Matthew 28 verse 19. Matthew 28 verse 19 is not meant to be repeated. It is meant to be interpreted. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
If he says, go and baptize in the name of the Father, it means the Father has a name. Correct?
Certainly.
If he says, and the name and of the Son, it means the Son has a name.
Yes, sir.
And of the Holy Ghost, it means the Holy Ghost too has a name.
That's
so true. The problem is, what is the name of the Father?
Jesus. And
no. Let you know it is Jesus.
Yes. From the references we've made now.
No, I've not given you any reference. I haven't. Don't assume. Make sure you understand. I have not given any reference.
Okay.
I said the name of the Father is Jesus. Which scripture says the name of the Father of Jesus is Jesus? It is in John chapter 5. Open it. John chapter 5. Listen to scripture.
John 5:43.
Yes.
I am come in my Father's name.
Who is the person speaking?
Jesus.
Jesus is speaking. Go on.
Yes. I have come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive.
He said he came in his Father's name.
Name.
That means his name is the name of his Father. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
What he's saying is that the name he bears is the name of his Father. It is in that name he came. And what is that name?
Jesus.
Fine. Now, go to John chapter 17. Verse 6.
John 17 verse 6.
Yes, hear that statement. What did he say?
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world.
Which name did he manifest?
Jesus, the name Jesus.
Who was he talking to?
He was praying for his disciples.
Who was he talking to?
God.
And
talking
he's telling
God
them
the Father, yes.
That he has manifested his name,
his name
to them.
To them, yes.
Because remember, he told them in John 40, he said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it.
Yes.
If you ask the Father anything in my name, he will do it.
John
and 40, he said, 15. That name that he manifested to them is the name of the Father.
Yes, sir.
Am I correct? Yes. Now, what is the name of the Holy Ghost? John 14.
John 14.
Yes.
John 14:26.
Yes.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name.
In which name will the Holy Ghost come?
Jesus.
So what's the name of the Holy Ghost?
Jesus. Praise God.
Who is the Father of Jesus? Because that's why you have been getting confused since. In the Bible, there is nothing that supports the doctrine of three persons in one God. Trinitarian doctrine is an unscriptural doctrine. One God manifesting in three offices. Yes. Not three persons in one God. No, it is a gentle way of knowing God. Now, who is the Father of Jesus? Open Matthew chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 18.
Matthew 1:18.
Yes.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise.
This is how Jesus Christ was born.
When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
She was found with a child of who?
Of the Holy Ghost.
Was found with a child of who?
Of the Holy Ghost.
Who pregnanted Mary?
Holy Ghost.
Who is the father of that child?
That's Holy Ghost.
When the child says, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. Who is he talking to as the father?
Holy Ghost.
So the Holy Ghost and the father is the same person you are talking about.
Yes.
Are they two different people?
No, they're not two different people. No, sir.
So where is Trinity? I think I've answered you.
Yes, sir, you have.
So, the name of the Father, he gave to his Son. Because it has pleased him that in him, Jesus, Colossians chapter 1 verse 19, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And it is written, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He became Emmanuel because he came and dwelt, the Father dwelt in the Son. That makes the Son and the Father one. 100% man, 100% God, but the indwelling spirit. Because John chapter 3 tells us that he, Jesus, received not the Spirit by measure, because the fullness was in him. That's why he told the whole world. Jesus was telling that woman at the well, the time comes when you will neither worship in any temple or in any mountain, but the Father seeketh such that will worship him. Those that worship him where? In spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Why? Because God has left any building made by hands. And Jesus Christ became the temple of God because he, in him, dwelleth all the fullness. And that's why God was announcing to the whole world, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It became his meeting point with man. You want to start look for God anywhere, that is him. Anywhere you say, God, manifest yourself, I want to see you, Jesus will appear. In John 14, Philip asked him, show us the Father, we shall be satisfied. And he turned and looked at Philip. Have I been so long with you for so long, Philip? You don't know me. Have I not told you, if you see me, you see the Father? Why do you say I should show you the Father again? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's why he's referred to as the Almighty Jesus. And because he is there, he placed his name there. Why? Because that name Jesus is God's name for salvation. God has many names, and God takes upon himself the name reflecting what he's doing at any given time. Now he is saving. That's why his name is Yeshua, or we call it Joshua. The Greek call it Jesus. It means Jehovah saves, because he's saving now. And where is he saving? He is saving in a man. For God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. That's why he placed his name there. This is my address. That's why Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Because he became the temple of God. God's dwelling place. And his name is Jesus. The name of the Father. And the Holy Ghost is coming in that same name. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Let your church, every member, go and rebaptize in the name of Jesus. That's the evidence that you gain something coming here today.
Thank you, sir.
Can we clap our hands for our God? Can we clap our hands for Jesus?